The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what's new this week in recovery news?
So a suspect in a violent killing spree in Rockford, Illinois, is blaming the spree, which killed four people and injured seven on Wednesday, on marijuana. The suspect, Christian Soto, was charged Thursday with 11 counts. And basically what happened was he went over to a friend's house. He ended up smoking pot. He's saying that the pot was laced with some kind of psychotic and made him psychotic, and that's why he went out and killed these people. It's pretty crazy, Gary.
You know, that doesn't make any sense.
It's a tough one because there are cases when somebody has underlying schizophrenia or underlying psychosis that marijuana can bring it out. Yeah. He's saying that it was laced. I'm sure the police are going to be able to get to the bottom of it. They'll probably be able to test it and find out. But I do, as a clinician, I get people sometimes that it brings out this underlying psychosis, but they're actually they have a mental illness.
Is it also laced?
No. Marijuana can actually trigger psychotic episodes if somebody's predisposed to it. It's pretty rare. You do see it, though. So it's a possibility, but it does sound a little far out there, Gary, don't you think?
Sounds a little crazy. What else is new?
So remember last week we were talking about the Philippines and how they're putting people to death for minor drug offenses? Well, I did a little research this week, and I found that there are seven countries where you can be put to death, executed for either having or selling drugs and alcohol. So I got a little list here. I wanted to share it with you. So in Vietnam, those caught with over 1.3 pounds of heroin may be executed. Malaysia, drug dealers may face the death penalty. Iran, listen to this one. Drinking alcohol is punishable by 80 lashes, being whipped 80 times. But if you're caught four times, you're put to death. Saudi Arabia, selling almost always results in the death penalty. And I could go on and on. There's public floggings. There's all kinds of stuff. And it sounds pretty prehistoric, but they don't really have a huge drug and alcohol issue over there.
Well, you know, that makes me feel very grateful that we live in Pennsylvania.
It sure does.
And speaking of Pennsylvania today, we are honored to have a guest that's going to be coming on. And let me just preface this. This is to the audience. There are 500,000 of us in Pennsylvania that are in recovery. And, you know, I want, and the audience should want, a guy like our guest, Jack Stolzheimer, to become the next Attorney General of Pennsylvania. Jack is the District Attorney of Delaware County, which is the county that touches Philadelphia County. And he has done incredible things. And when we come back, two things. You're going to have the opportunity to speak to Jack Stolzheimer, and the second thing is we're going to learn all about the great things that he has done in Delaware County that he is going to take statewide. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care, backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, everybody. This is former Philadelphia Flyer Chris Terrien, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I just want to give a little information on what a district attorney does now and what Jack's next job as attorney general does. So let me start at what's going to happen. The attorney general of most states, and Pennsylvania also has an attorney general, is the top lawman for the state. Very influential, can do a lot of incredible things. And Jack has already done in Delaware County. I mean, I'm just going to give you a short list of what he has done. You know, he has first of all, mainly, very importantly, he supports women's rights. Now, this is very, very, very important. Women need to choose, have their own choice, whatever they're going to do with their bodies, especially us in the recovery community. And actually, the addictive people still suffering in this state need to be able to control what happens to their bodies. Jack has also reduced crime in Chester City in Delaware County by 60-some percent. And let me just tell you something about Delaware County. It does touch Philadelphia County, but it's suburban. And it is the fifth most populated county in Pennsylvania and the third smallest. So what that is, Jack, and you'll clarify this for me, a lot of people living in close quarters, and that causes a lot of problems. So without further ado, as they say, welcome Jack Stolzheimer to the show.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Mark. Great to be here again.
It's always great to see you. I'm really excited about this.
Me too.
You know, and I'm going to keep saying during the show, our recovery community, 500,000 people, we need to be protected. Just like women need to be protected, our group of people, recovery people, need to be protected.
And Jack is
– he's the guy to do it.
Yeah.
He is the guy to do it.
And we need to grow that number, Gary. We need more people in recovery. I mean, that's what we're all about in Delaware County, is trying to take a holistic approach to what used to be called the war on drugs. We've turned it into more of a war on addiction. We're still going after big-time drug dealers. We took a record $20 million of fentanyl off the streets of Delaware County in 2022. But at the same time, we sued the opioid distributors and brought home $60 million to help people with substance use disorder, hopefully find their way to recovery.
You know, just because Jack is compassionate, caring, and understands what addiction is, he's tough on crime, which is extremely important also.
Yeah, and he's tough on the drug dealers, especially, right? I remember the last time he was on Clean and Sober Radio, because Jack has been a longtime supporter of recovery and Clean and Sober Radio. I remember he was talking about that.
It's true.
You know, where he goes after the drug dealers, and it's not as much about the users.
Yep. And we've got a terrible fentanyl problem in this country. Yeah. It's just out of control. It's getting worse, not better. And we're seeing it on the streets every single day. Fentanyl now being mixed with Trank, which is horse tranquilizer, which burns the inside of a human body. What people do to themselves because of their addiction is absolutely scary.
Yeah, that's Isoline, which is what Jack said. First of all, Mark said, what do we call you? I mean, when Josh Shapiro became attorney general, I said to him, what do you want me to call you? And he goes, Josh.
Yes.
So it's okay. So this
it's good for him. It's good for me too.
Then. Yeah. Well, you're following his footsteps. The devastation, you know, the drug – I'm preaching to the choir here. The drug problem, the epidemic, is up front to any other thing that's going on here, because it is ruining not just the individual, it's ruining their families, the communities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that we will be very, very fortunate if when Jack becomes the attorney general.
Yes, and you're seeing this Trank, this xylazine, which has actually been around since probably the 1960s and used by veterinarians and everything. But as you were talking about, you know, you're seeing it pretty much laced in this particular area in with all the fentanyl, pretty much. I mean, I don't know if it's all at this point. Do you know any percentage on that?
No, I don't know, but we're seeing it more increasingly in Delaware County. I know it's been showing up a lot more in the city of Philadelphia. It's insane, because fentanyl is something like 50 times more powerful than morphine. Mm-hmm. And then to add Trank to it makes it even more powerful. I can't imagine how anybody can deal with that. But
Sally L. from Westchester, Pennsylvania, writes to us, let's be real, guys. This addiction epidemic is not going away, and in fact, it's getting worse. What is the last page of this problem look like? That's a good question, isn't it?
It's a great question. And, you know, we don't know what the last page will look like. I mean, it's part of the journey. Each individual has to find their own way to recovery. All we can do as public officials is to give everybody the opportunity to find their redemption. And that's what we're trying to do in Delaware County, both by holding the drug dealers accountable, taking away the people who are making money by victimizing people with substance use disorder, and at the same time trying to find more and more programs that connect people to them and to overcome the hurdles for people to get into recovery. So that's what we're really going to be using a lot of this opioid funds for, is to try to really connect people better to programs that will help them, whatever they are. If people want medical assisted treatment, whatever it is.
You were instrumental across the state with Josh Shapiro in creating the LETI program, which is a law enforcement treatment initiative. And I wish more people knew about it. I think it needs more press. But, and Jack, correct me if I'm wrong or I don't have the whole picture. This is a program where it empowers law enforcement to make a decision when they're picking somebody up. Do we get him into treatment, hopefully, or does he get stuck in the legal system?
Yep, that's exactly right. Let me just, for the readers who, for the viewers who don't really understand, the district attorney, each of 67 counties has an elected district attorney. We're the chief law enforcement officer of that county. But the attorney general is our partner. The attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer of the Commonwealth. So they work with us, particularly in the area of drug abuse. Each county has a narcotics task force, a countywide task force, that operates under the authority of the attorney general. So the Pennsylvania legislature has given the attorney general the number one priority of going after drug dealing in Pennsylvania. And the really reason why you want an attorney general to do that is because so many of these organizations go across county lines. But the local DAs, the attorney general gives the local DA the authority to run their task force. So I run the Delaware County Narcotics Task Force under the authority of the attorney general. And we worked hand in glove both with Michelle Henry, who's our current attorney general, and Josh Shapiro, who is just incredible. He's been the best or was the best attorney general Pennsylvania ever had. We've been electing them since 1980. He's far and away was the best attorney general in my humble opinion. And one of the things he did on the drug abuse side is the LETI program. So the LETI program is Law Enforcement Treatment Initiative. The goal of the program is to train police officers and give them another tool in the toolbox to say, if you come into contact with somebody in your duties who that person is looks like they're willing and will tell you they are willing to go into substance use treatment, just take them. Don't worry about the charges. Most of the crimes that whatever they've committed can't be as important as trying to get them into treatment, because that might be the one moment in their life when, as you guys know, they're ready for it. So what the goal of the program is to train police officers. What we've done in Delaware County is we've hired a great recovery organization called MVP Recovery, which it really has become the MVP of our system in Delaware County. They do a lot of things. They run their own recovery houses. They've also been contracted by us with some of the opioid money to set up new programming, because we're trying to connect people more to the county's programs that help people with substance use disorder. And now they're doing the LETI program. And they're going around and they're training police officers. And I've got one police officer in Ridley Township, Leo Doyle, who's just a great guy. He's a trained therapist, a police officer, and he works part-time for MVP to make sure that all the police officers know this tool is available. But also he talks to them about their own trauma that they're coming into contact with every single day by doing their jobs. And if you're not dealing with your own issues, how can you really help somebody? So Leo is like sort of a superstar in this field. And what we're doing is about 120 people since we started in really for real in May of 2022 in the LETI program. We've had about 120 people who are going through or have gone through the program. We're police officers. We've opened it up to probation officers as well. So anybody in the court system who has contact with offenders can say, wait a minute, are you willing to go into treatment? Because I'll drop these charges if you are.
Wow. And it's certain level charges. I mean.
Right. Possessory offenses, retail theft. You know, Gary, as you guys know, a lot of people are committing crimes to feed their habit. They're not robbing a bank.
Right.
They're stealing from a retail store.
You see, just what Jack said. This is a guy who understands addiction. That's why everybody listening and watching, we need somebody like Jack to be the top law guy. He gets it. You get it. Most people don't get it.
Well, most people I think today should, because everybody, including my family, has people who have passed because of addictions. I've lost three close family members. My father, my stepmother, and my stepbrother have all died, ironically or oddly, all at the age of 50. My dad died of his addiction to tobacco, a legal product.
Yeah.
My stepmother died of her addiction to alcohol. She drank herself to death, another legal product. Mm-hmm. And my brother died of addiction to everything. He was addicted to illegal drugs, tobacco and alcohol. So these folks in my family were never able to find their moment to recovery.
Right.
So I really am passionate about trying to give everybody else the opportunity that they couldn't.
Jack, when we started in Pennsylvania with Narcan, mm-hmm. there was obviously – there was going to be a pushback, and there was a pushback for law enforcement to use it. The Letty program, are you finding the same kind of pushback from law enforcement?
I don't think there's a pushback as much as it just takes a while for it to become part of their job culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you know, just to give a shout out to my predecessor, Jack Whalen, who's a judge now in Delaware County.
Yeah.
He's the first one who pushed statewide to get police officers to carry Narcan. And when he used his authority to tell our police officers, no, you should be saving someone's life by using this, they started to take hold of it. So that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You can see over time it took a while, but now everybody, police officers and law enforcement, wouldn't think twice about administering Narcan. We have to do the same about treatment. And so it's going to take a while, and that's why having MVP continuously go around, meet with police officers, develop that relationship, and just remind them that you can just do this. And once you do it once, then they start to pick up on it.
Let me give our audience a little bit of your background. Temple University, Beasley School of Law.
Yes, sir.
Graduate. You're a lawyer. I'm so jealous. You know. You're appointed by former Governor Ed Rendell to be the Safe Schools Advocate in Philadelphia. Then you did two stints with the Pennsylvania Treasury Department, first as Deputy Chief Counsel and Director of the Bureau of Unclaimed Property, and then as a Deputy State Treasurer of Consumer Programs. You also worked in private sector for a while. You were elected district attorney in 2019 in Delaware County, defeating an incumbent, let's leave it at that. During a recent debate, you highlighted things that you have done, and this is important. I just want to go through some of these things. Mark, I don't know if you know this, and I'm sure most of the audience doesn't. In Pennsylvania, there was in Delaware County was the only prison that was privately run for profit. Jack was instrumental in getting that back into the county. So the focus wasn't on the money. It was on helping these people, inmates, getting a fair shake. So lower the number of people in the prison and, you know, because again – to lock people up, to be so punitive, to lock people up on minor charges is so archaic, and it just ruins communities and families. And so Jack was instrumental. Everybody in recovery community understand that he is an incredible friend to us. And I want to say, and I'm going to say it several times, that Jack is here because the primary in Pennsylvania is on April 23rd. And we want everybody to vote.
Yes, get out.
Pennsylvania, get out there and vote. I mean, don't sit home if it's raining or whatever. It's extremely, extremely important. It really is. Melanie S. from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I live in Northwest Pennsylvania. Is that where Erie is, Mark?
I have no idea. That's a great question, Harry.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so she writes, and I have two young children. Is there any hope that the violence associated with addiction will be seriously addressed in this area? What do you think, Jack, when you're up there in Harrisburg?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. You know, so much of the violent crime in our communities is driven by people who are suffering from poverty, and with poverty you find addiction – oftentimes go hand in hand. I mean, the one consistent driver of violent crime is poverty. And so we've got to do something about poverty. But we also, as prosecutors, have to hold people accountable for their violent acts. So what we've done in the city of Chester is what I'd like to do across Pennsylvania. What we've done is called focused deterrence. We focus on the 1% of people who commit 75 to 80% of the violent acts. And we give them a choice because we can figure out who they are and who they run with and the groupings and all that. And we said, look, we'll help you get out of this criminal life if you let us, but we're going to have to stop you if you make us. You got to put down the guns. And we've had miraculous success. Over 4 years, we've reduced the number of shootings by 72%. The number of homicides, gun homicides, are down by 68%. Now, having said that, everybody who gets killed by a gun in Chester, it's a disaster. It's traumatic for everybody, and it hurts the entire community, even if you live outside of Chester. So everybody we lose is a loss. But there are programs, and I think, and to your caller's point, we need to just do more. This is an evidence-based program started by the Department of Justice back in the 1990s when Bill Clinton was president, called Boston Ceasefire. That was the original experiment. And this focused deterrence program has been around for almost 28 years, and it's almost always successful when it's done with integrity. Our numbers in Chester are particularly successful, but it used to work here in the city of Philadelphia. It can work in Erie. It can work in Harrisburg, Reading, all over Pennsylvania. My goal as Attorney General, because my number one priority is to do something about the gun violence. Yeah. That's what I brought to Delaware County as well, is to bring this program to every county in Pennsylvania. And if you don't mind, Gary, just a second about the prison, because I do think it's important to give kudos to my colleagues in Delaware County Council.
Sure, absolutely.
When we ran together 4 years ago, we didn't have a health department in the county, and we had a privately run prison. And we made promises to do something about both, and we did. County Council started the first health department in Delaware County, and together we led the fight to deprivatize the jail. So nobody's getting paid a profit. No out-of-state corporation is making a profit by incarcerating our people. And instead, we're investing that money in the people who are incarcerated and the people who work there. But we have a long way to go. That facility was so run down and so bad. Gary, we've actually had people who asked defendants, at least one, who asked for a state sentence, a higher sentence for the crime they committed because they had been to our county jail and would rather go to a state correctional facility than spend time in George Hill again. So Delaware County Council is now investing something of $40 million to bring it up to grade, to make it a more livable place. Because as you all know, and you're on a jail board in Montgomery County,
yeah,
the way we incarcerate our people and the way we treat them tells us milestones about who we are as a society. It's a reflection of our own values.
Jack, can I suggest something? Mm-hmm. Changing the name of that prison.
Right. That would be
That's got a nasty name.
Right. I'm going to pass it along to my colleagues in Delaware County Council. That's a really good idea. Start all over. Start afresh.
Start fresh.
Yep.
You know. Yep. So we're talking with District Attorney Jack Stolzheimer from Delaware County outside of Philadelphia. And if you want to get in touch with us, as we have a caller waiting right now, give us a call at 1-888-728-9941. And if you're just listening and you want to watch us do the show, go on Facebook, go on our page, cleanandsoberradio.com. Just like some of these folks that are, there's a whole lot of people watching this right now. Kathy Wolf Collin, Mark Willick, Mark, we'll get to you in a second. Alex DeSilvo, Debbie Reynolds, Judge Christopher Maddox. Great to hear from Delco's own DA, Jack Stolzheimer. Have a great show. He's a great guy, isn't he?
He's a great guy.
Great guy. Linda Carroll, Rich Moyer. Linda Carroll says, hi, everybody. Good to see our wonderful DA, soon to be AG, in the house. Edward Anthony IV is watching. You got anything on?
I don't. You have them all on your side.
Okay, that's fine. Let's do this. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Jack. And, you know, here's an opportunity to be speaking to a real district attorney. You don't really have that. And also, you never get that opportunity. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you. How healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hi, this is Randy the Blade Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Gary Hendler, along with my co-host Mark Sigmund, and we're talking with the District Attorney Jack Stolzheimer. We have a caller on the line. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. Listen, you called me first thing this morning. I got to talk to you, so my day got better. I wanted to just tell Jack, first of all, I want to know who does his hair because they do a really good job.
It's perfect hair, isn't it?
Yeah, it's his hair. Yeah, it's
No, I didn't say it wasn't his hair.
What?
It is his hair.
Yeah, this is hair. Yeah. I want to know who cuts it. Somebody enough for Darby, maybe. I would like to go there. Anyway, I just, from the bottom of my heart, I just got to say that the way you handled that tragic, tragic scene with the fire in East Lansdowne, and the way you got everybody, together and not in a panic, and it was just. I mean, you've been through a lot in Delaware County. I know. I mean, I see it all the time. And listen, Chester is not the greatest place, but it's getting better.
Yep.
I mean, you know, they got the stadium there, and they have kids under control a little bit. But I certainly wish I would have. Could have been at your fundraising dinner, but I was ill. But I'm sure we'll see each other again.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tragedy in East Lansdowne still is just haunting. We had an individual who took a rifle after a minor dispute with his niece and shot at the family, shot at police officers as they came to try to rescue this girl, and then burned the house down. And it was one of the most dangerous and violent scenes I've ever seen. I got to go on scene and watch our police officers' breathtaking heroism. Not only the officers who were shot, the one officer who was shot returned fire while wounded, reloaded the firearm with one hand. This is the kind of stuff that they train. We're going to train using it for training at our police academy. Before he really just succumbed to the trauma. Upper Darby police officers came and using barricade shields were able to pull these guys out. But I had a police chief from Radnor who's also a fire chief, and he's standing in the front lawn of this house trying to put this fire out with officers with automatic weapons trying to protect him. Because these guys were and women were so dedicated to trying to get inside that house no matter what it took. Because they believed an 11-year-old girl was in there. Yeah. They know the whole family was already
dead. Scary.
Chris Flanagan you're talking about,
that's
right?
Chris Flanagan.
Great guy.
Unbelievable.
Jack, you know what that reminded me of? And Mark, you'll probably remember this. Either Mark. Well, not this one, but you, Mark. 1978 confrontation with MOVE.
Yep.
When there was one house.
That's just one of them.
And that was Officer Ramp that was killed.
That's right.
It reminded me of that, you know?
And this is what
then the house that blew caught on fire. They dropped the bomb on the house.
Yeah, that was later, much later.
They the amazing thing our police officers, men and women, have to deal with every single day now, and always be fearful that somebody could kill them with automatic weapons. It's incredible. Yeah. And now,
but you know what, Jack, you're on top of this, and you're going to make the most awesome AG.
Thank you.
Ever.
Thank
and
you,
so I'm on team. I do know Jack, and I'm on your team.
Thank you, Mark. And by the way,
have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Be well, brother.
But if you want to get your hair like mine, you're going to have to talk to my wife because during the pandemic, She decided to use the dog shears on my hair.
Really?
Yeah. And now she's my official barber. She never liked the way the barbers did it because it would take too much off the sides and not enough off the top.
Yeah.
So now she reverses it. She takes too much off the top and not enough off the sides. But she's my wife. What am I going to do? And the price is pretty good.
Right? And guess what? And guess what? Their dogs now go to a hair salon.
Right. They go to Jack's Barber, right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Have a great weekend, brother.
Have a great weekend, Mark.
See you, Jack.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow, that was the policeman killed in that incident?
No, but we had three police officers in like a 2-week period in February shot in the line of duty. We had a police officer shot chasing a suspect in the city of Chester. These two officers, thank God, are fine. Also, the one officer, Officer Meehan, who had the more serious injury, and he's the one who was able to reload his gun.
Yeah.
So heroically, he's had a serious injury with his arm, and the bullet just shattered his forearm. So please, everyone out there, say a prayer for our police officers, particularly these guys, but all of them every day, because what our officers are walking into, and you can see how hard it is for us to try to recruit people to become police officers.
Sure.
As the governor has said, there's no more honorable profession in public service than being a police officer.
Yeah.
We just need the best and the brightest, give them the best training in the world. We're trying to do that in Delaware County every single day, but we just need more people to step up. It's a great job, and you can make such a difference in your community. You can see our guys do it every single day. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing to watch them every day. It's one of the cool things about being the district attorney of a county is you get to see the men and women in uniform who are out there every single day and what an incredible job they do.
And dangerous. I mean, when they leave their homes in the morning, they really don't know if they're coming home.
Well,
that's dedication.
Yep.
Yeah, and I actually was thinking about that on the way over. As a district attorney, I mean, there's got to be some level of danger there too. Has that ever been something kind of on your mind when you're going out or with your family or, you know, dealing with these cases?
Yeah, I try not to think about any of that. Every once in a while, you get some hate emails. People don't write hate mail anymore. They write hate emails. And they go on social media and say terrible things about you. Now, the best way to do it is just block it out. You know, you have to just do the job and do it with integrity. But I'm a pretty fast runner, Mark, so I think if I get in any trouble, I'll be able to run my way
just
out of
us.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I asked Jack if when he becomes AG, could I be in charge of his security detail?
That's a great idea.
What do you think, Mark?
I think you and I will both be on his security detail.
Now that you're on board, Mark, I'm thinking that's a better idea.
It's great.
Okay?
It's great.
That will be under serious consideration.
I'll be the driver.
There you go.
You can be the security.
I'll jump on the guy's back. You go for the front. You know, we'll do that. But
what got you interested in becoming the attorney general?
Great question. So, you know, having seen being a district attorney and working hand in glove with Attorney General Shapiro – I saw the value of the office, right? He and I have done multiple things together. He advised me, even when I was running, that I should start an environmental crimes unit, the first one in any district attorney's office.
Yeah.
And together we prosecuted the Mariner 2 pipeline, the energy transfer company. So I saw how useful that office can be. Together he and I have done wage theft. We started a pilot program within 90 days of taking office together to go after the contractors who were stealing from their own employees by misclassifying them on construction sites and stealing from us as taxpayers. And nobody had ever done anything about it. No DA's office had ever prosecuted a case, but I needed the help of the Attorney General. So working with him on those issues, with opioids, with gun violence, you could really see how important the office is and its broad reach. Consumer protection issues, you know, again, sued the opioid distributors. He came in and he did the settlement. So I just think there's so much more I could do for the other 66 counties in Pennsylvania as the attorney general, knowing what I know from the office and how much of it overlaps with the work of a district attorney already. I think I'm prepared day one to go in there and actually do the work. And it's an exciting opportunity. There's just a lot more. It's what I'm doing now.
Right.
Just on steroids.
I mean, you're the guy, you know, everybody needs to get out there on the primary. You're not going to wait until the general election, the 23rd of April, get out there and vote, right?
Yeah.
It's a no brainer, Mark.
And let's get the whole recovery community together. You know, anybody on here, tell your friends in recovery. Jack is, he's very concerned about, you know, people that are struggling with addiction.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jack, Mark and I have talked about this before. If the recovery community got together, mm-hmm. we could do whatever – any election.
Absolutely right.
And this one in Pennsylvania is extremely important.
Yep. Yeah. And I was thinking earlier when you were talking about, Jack, how you were getting them to kind of give them a choice. Right. And as a therapist, I'll tell you, as a drug and alcohol therapist, there's nothing like having that push.
Yes.
And I get – so people come back and they thank you later for giving them a little
right.
push.
Right.
You know, you know, it's kind of like an external motivator that just gets you to go in. And these guys, you know, it must be really successful.
And Mark, that's exactly the theory behind the Luddy program is you're caught – and a police officer in authority is saying to you, I will get you into treatment if you go. And at that moment, if that person takes them up on it, they got to do it because you're right. Sometimes they need that push. We have a drug treatment court. And I tell you, everybody who graduates from drug treatment court, the story is always they failed so many times in recovery, but finally at the right moment, somebody reached out to them when they were at rock bottom. And that's when they started turning it around. So we want to give everybody that opportunity. That's why we want to train our police officers, our probation officers, everybody in the system, that this is a disease that's going to take everybody's, you know, attention to it, not to try to help people find their way out. And you never know. You could be the hero. You could be the person
Absolutely.
Who changes an entire person's life by taking them not to jail but to a treatment. And we're doing the same thing within the county jail. We're making sure Kevin Madden, the jail councilman Madden, who's in charge of the jail oversight committee, absolutely passionate about making sure we have medical assisted treatment and we have health care in there. And if people want treatment while they're in our county jail, even if they're in there for a short period of time, we got to make sure that it's accessible to them.
Is there an issue with people sort of understanding what the Luddy program is, but saying, you know, it's, you know, I'm not, you know, that's not going to happen. We're going to get arrested. You know, it's even, you know, when you're supposed to drop off the drugs, take back program. People, we've had people call and go, if we go in there, they're going to arrest us.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Which is not true. So I think there should be a statewide advertising from Pennsylvania saying, hey, we care.
Yep.
There is second chance out there. Blah, 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 blah. You know,
that's a great idea.
Stuff like that.
We really have to do a lot more. I mean, Josh did such a great job. What he was doing going county by county and asking the chief law enforcement officer, the DAs, to partner up with him. So he's been building the infrastructure or have built the infrastructure. Hopefully the next AG, and certainly I'll be doing it if I am the AG, is to try to take it to the next level. And that's really what you do in government. You look at programs that are smart, successful, and say, how do we make it even better?
Right. And I know that your overall view, Jack, is always you want people who live in Pennsylvania and anywhere else but Pennsylvania to have good lives, quality Absolutely. Lives. That's what this is all about. Yep.
People have to remember we're not a state. We're a commonwealth.
Yep.
And the definition of that is we all believe that each of us are enriched when all of us have an opportunity to reach their full human potential. So we've got to give people the opportunity, whether it's providing quality education or whether it's, you know, substance use treatment, whatever it is, we need to give people the chance to become – because we all benefit if we're all working in the same direction.
We want to keep this commonwealth the keystone state, not the keystoned state. Okay? That's what we're trying to do here.
Well, and I guess that's a good question with all this marijuana legalization.
Yeah.
Do you have any views on that?
So, yeah. I mean, let me be clear. I've never – smoked marijuana, not because I'm some high in the horse person, but when I was growing up, my sister was 2 years older and she smoked all the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was the goody two shoes just to not be my sister. And I didn't like her friends, she didn't like my friends.
Sure.
You know how that goes,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, I think the marijuana that's out there today, I have two 18-year-old children. I asked my daughter last year, I'm like, do you see kids, you know, using marijuana a lot? And she says, you mean like the stoners? I'm like, so it hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
Like, there's a group of kids, but I think they're using gummies and they're using vapes and they're hiding it differently than we did back in our day. But the reality is, you know, marijuana is there. It's always been present. It's less harmful than some other drugs. It's certainly not harmless, which is something we have to take into consideration. You were talking earlier, Mark, about psychosis that some people can be predisposed to. We in law enforcement hear that as well. So our position is, if we're going to legalize recreational use, let's have a full-throated conversation about that. Let's have law enforcement at the table as well, because we have issues like right now with medical marijuana, where you can have a card to be legally able to take marijuana, yet you don't know this, but you can't drive your car.
Exactly.
Because as soon as you get behind the wheel, you're stoned, okay? Yeah. That has to be cleaned up. So all of these things have to happen for marijuana to be legalized in Pennsylvania. I think the wrong reason to do it is to make revenue. I think the right reason to do it would be that maybe it'll stop some people from taking fentanyl if this becomes their drug of choice. Maybe marijuana is even less harmful than alcohol. Like literally watching my stepmother drink herself to death.
It is less. Mark, anything? Alcohol kills more people than anything.
Well, the crazy thing, alcohol kills the most people every year than all of them.
Right.
In terms of the things. Yes.
And it's brutal. My stepmother literally got a liver transplant and then couldn't stop drinking because she was so addicted, and she destroyed her entire body. I mean, so on the scale of that, you're right. And if that's where the popular thought is, then maybe we should do it and give people this outlet. But let's make sure that we all have a conversation about how much THC is in the marijuana. Let's learn from other states so we don't make the same mistakes they're doing. And let's make sure whatever we can to try to keep it out of the hands of children.
Yeah, and communication is very important. Again, there should be programs that might say, medical marijuana doesn't mean driving.
Right.
All that kind of stuff needs to come out.
And cleaning up people's previous criminal histories has to be part of it. If you've been a felony conviction for selling marijuana in the past, should that be, expunged from your record? Those kind of things all have to be discussed, and everybody, every stakeholder in the community needs to be part of it. I hate to see the Pennsylvania legislature do this in the middle of the night as they often do things. I don't think, from what I understand, it's happening this year. I think it's going to take a longer period of time for people to have that conversation. But let me just tell you, in Delaware County, one of the things I did was we decriminalized personal possession. So if you have 30 grams or less, if you got two joints on you, the law as it exists in Pennsylvania assumes that that's for your own personal use. So why should we be arresting you, fingerprinting you, giving you a criminal record for it?
It's a disconnect. There seems to be a disconnect, Jack.
Right.
I mean, I think if this is a word, punitiveness is out of whack. I go into the prison and I see people that are there for minor stuff that, first of all, are waiting almost a year to see a judge.
Yep.
The system
is very frustrating for people because it takes way too long. But that's because we have so many checks and balances built in for the defendant's own volition oftentimes. But one of the things we've done in Delaware County, we talked about deprivatizing it. I hired a deputy district attorney whose job it is to keep people out of our county jail. So we've reduced the population by about 40% by taking low-level offenders and saying, we can give you a program to keep you – getting you the help you need. You're being held accountable. As Mark said earlier, sometimes you need to have that hammer over your head to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't get a criminal record. And, we've been – the sad thing is in this crazy political world we live in where everything is right and left, the one thing that we used to agree on in this country up until about 5 years ago was criminal justice reform. Everybody on both sides agreed we were locking too many people up, incarcerating them for too long, and not using enough money to help people get the help they need to stay out. And, Governor Shapiro was a leader when he was in the legislature. It was called the Justice Reinvestment Initiative. Rely less on incarceration, lower sentences. Does it really matter whether you're in there for 2 years or 1.5?
Exactly.
Right? But if we can save a little money, but we have to reprogram that into programs that actually help people.
Reentry programs,
recovery programs, and they need to be evidence-based. They need to be tested. It's hard. It's hard to get providers right now. Not enough people because the reimbursement rates are so low. I was with a bunch of drug and alcohol folks. You were there the other day in Northeast Philly.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And how they were complaining about the reimbursement rates being so bad that they can't keep staff. The person will leave a week later for a job at Walmart, right? If this is a serious problem we're trying to address as a society, we got to put some more resources
there. Absolutely. If you're just joining us now, we're speaking with the District Attorney of Delaware County outside of next to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Jack Stolzheimer is running for Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania, probably overly qualified. And again, Pennsylvania primary is April 23rd. You got to go out and vote. And as I understand, Jack, your name is on the first line, isn't
it? That's right.
We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope and believe with the effective treatment we can offer designed uniquely for you within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled G-A-U-D-E-N-Z-I-A. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
What's happening? Brandon Novak here from Those Movies Jacks, or author of that addiction memoir, Dream Seller. Do me a favor and tune into Clean and Sober Radio with Gary Hendler.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Welcome back to Clean and Sober Radio. I'm Gary Hendler, along with Mark Sigmund. We're having the pleasure of speaking with District Attorney Jack Stoltzheimer, who is running for Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania. And as you're listening to the show, if you know somebody, or even if you're yourself, you want to get treatment, call the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. That number should be on your refrigerator if you or any loved one has been fighting this disease. And Mark, you have another number, don't you?
Yes, call 988 if you're having suicidal thoughts. Just so people know, this is actually the worst time of year for suicide. You know, spring, for some reason, you get the most suicides. And so check in with your loved ones. Don't be afraid to ask them. Again, call 988 if you're having suicidal thoughts.
That's very, very good advice. And again, if you're listening and you want to watch us, go on Facebook, cleanandsoberradio.com, just like these folks. Colleen Kilkenny, Lou Montana. Good Hello. Afternoon, Gary and Mark. Good to be here on another day with Clean and Sober Radio. Kevin Heyer is watching. Yeah, a lot of people watching. Let's say
I got a quick thing about
yeah, go ahead.
Treatment court. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you, as a counselor, I've seen so many people, they do so well in treatment court. And when you look at the percentages right. of people getting and staying sober, it's just off the charts.
Yeah.
Is that's a big thing that you're supporting too, is treatment
Oh, absolutely.
Courts?
Yeah, we've got, you know, specialty courts like that for veterans. We've got especially court for people with mental health issues. The treatment court was the first one. I think Delaware County started us in 2008. A lot of counties have them. It's great. We need every county to have it. It's just, as you were saying earlier, Mark, it's a way to hold people accountable and sometimes gives them that little extra push. Because you keep having to come back before a judge and answer for why you're not staying in recovery.
Yeah.
And I've been at the graduation since I've been DA for each of our drug treatment court classes. And I just tell you, the stories are always like, I'm so sorry. You know, if it wasn't for this counselor, but this is the person who finally got me because I failed so many other times to stay in recovery. And it's just uplifting to see people, but it's a haul. It
Jack,
is a lot of work.
Will you have anything to do with insurance companies? And the reason I'm bringing it up is insurance companies are you know, they hesitate to provide the funds for treatment over and over and over again. I sort of get that. But, you know, we know so many people that have been multiple times and then they get it.
Yep.
And it's, you know, penny wise and dollar foolish not to keep paying. You know, if I was the AG, I would say these insurance companies – You don't help the recovery community, you can't do business in Pennsylvania.
You know who can say that is the Pennsylvania legislature.
Can they?
Absolutely right. I mean, they could require 90-day treatment, 120-day treatment, whatever it would be,
yeah.
as a price of doing business in Pennsylvania. And you would think, you know, with our legislature, that would be a no-brainer. But it hasn't been so far. I'd love to be behind you on that kind of a campaign, but we should actually be going to our legislators
Absolutely.
Demanding this. Yeah. Because you're right. I mean, everybody says the same thing. It's just, you know, the treatment needs to be enough time that the person can actually – Pound Foolish is absolutely right. If we can get people turned around in 90 days, why aren't we doing it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The rewards back to the community are incredible. My kids, aged 11 and 14, say that marijuana – his name is Steve F. from Buffalo, New York. My kids, 11 and 14, say marijuana is harmless – or it wouldn't become readily available and legal in some areas. Could the DA shed some of his feelings on legislation? Well, we've done it already and
We just have to keep telling people, and as parents especially, we have to tell our kids. I did the same. I'm like, it's, you know, marijuana and these drugs are out there. They are harmful. People in my family have died from their addictions. So you particularly, my children, I've told them, you have to be cognizant of this because it could be genetic. It could be predisposed to this kind of trauma. So I do think we have a responsibility as parents to say no matter what the messages are you hear in school. We used to think that tobacco was harmless, right? We used to think that – remember the movies from the 50s and 60s where everybody's smoking a cigarette?
Doctors in their offices were smoking.
Exactly. Yeah. We used to smoke on airplanes, right?
Yeah. You know, Jackie, remember rows 1 into 7 – you could smoke, but throw right behind it.
Right. No idea about what secondhand smoke was.
I remember going to Disney World as a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember I smelled a ton of smoke on the airplane.
Yep.
You know, they were smoking on the airplane.
But if you
never again, though.
It was great to smoke on I smoked.
Oh, I would have smoked packs and packs
or
on
movie
airplane.
Theaters.
You know, what's it?
New York. I smoked in movie theaters.
Gosh. Well, I mean, you could just see just smoking all day, every day. I mean,
right.
You could smoke at work. You could smoke. We'd be smoking in here cigars if we could.
We would, yeah.
Absolutely.
And now everybody realizes as a culture we've shifted. Right?
Yeah.
But we can do the same about marijuana. I mean, if people come to an understanding, whether it is legal or not, that this is not a harmless drug, but it's a lot less harmful than the hard drugs that are out there. I don't think that that's a bad message.
I think that's true. And I think, you know, the barn door is open already. So it's coming all over the place. So let's be responsible and, you know, figure out how to deal with it as far as treatment. You know, as Jack said, there's so many pieces to the puzzle of this addiction situation. It's mind-boggling. But communication.
I feel for that parent because my kids tell me all the time things that aren't true, but they quote TikTok. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
So there's so much misinformation that kids are available to on their phone.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm really, okay, well, TikTok's obviously a better authority than your father. I mean, you got to just take that for granted. I say tongue in cheek.
I think technology is more dangerous than marijuana.
I think that's absolutely right.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it is a little frustrating for me is like because you were seeing the addiction rates go down for the younger generation and it's kind of talked about like a vitamin now. And I'm not worried about the older generation. I'm worried about these adolescents.
Right.
You know, they're all going around the high schools. They're smoking their vapes all the time, you know, and you smell it all over the roads. When I'm driving, I smell pot when I'm driving by stuff. So it's a little frustrating, you know, at times that it's gone so much the other way,
right.
You know, but I'll tell you what, if I was still smoking pot, I'd be like, wahoo.
Right.
You know, I'm sure. Let me ask you a question. If you never smoked, let's say you're my age, but would you start smoking pot now that it's legal in a
Well, if I wasn't in recovery, absolutely.
Well, of course not. You would.
Absolutely. I would start, now, you know.
Now, if you were like a square guy, you know. Whatever that term means. you weren't a drinker.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get a medical marijuana. Would you start? I don't know.
That's a great question. I mean, it depends how paranoid that I would get. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. 70 years old and all of a sudden starting. And, you know, and it's crazy though because I was a big pot legalization. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I'm just worried about the kids at this point. Because all the parents are getting it. It's all over their houses, the vapes, all that stuff. So it's a messy situation. I love what you said, though, about like coming together and figuring out like what's the real best policy here to do it.
And especially as alcohol rates are going down, it's obvious. Yeah, I think what you're seeing is particularly on DUIs, we're seeing a lot more DUIs with drugs than we're seeing in the days past. So I think I think that's one of the things you're seeing, and that's why the state stores are worried about the – you know, they want to be able to sell marijuana if we legalize it, right? So there's – is it a trade-off? And those are the kind of discussions I think we need experts around the table.
Yeah.
But if – and I know the governor is really thoughtful about this, but we all got to sit around and think about as a society, if we're going to legalize this drug, you know, what does that entail and what are the ramifications and what – how should it be sold? All those kind
of things. It's complicated. Yeah. It's so totally complicated. You know, Jack, thank you so much for coming
on
the show. I encourage the whole community, recovery community, the rest of the state, to go out April 23rd, Pennsylvania primary, and vote for the state of Pennsylvania. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Mark.
Right. And remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and have a great weekend.
Tis the sun that
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Cancer, we don't want to think about it. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.